Understood is a resource I have recommended for many years to parents looking for support with learning and thinking differences such as ADHD, dyslexia, and more. And I'm subsequently excited to tell you about their podcast, Understood Explains. This season, the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. They cover topics such as how to tell if your child needs an IEP, common myths about special education, and the difference between IEPs and 504 plans. I love how Understood Explains breaks down the overwhelm by unpacking an important topic each season and then drilling down further into key basics in each episode. Most episodes are between 10 to 15 minutes, and episodes are available in both English and Spanish. So fantastic, right? To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of smart, compassionate guests, you will come away with insights and tactics to help you find the agency and space to simplify and declutter your home, time, mental space, and more. Hello, friends. I have a wonderful episode that I am excited to bring out of the locked archives. And it's the perfect timing to bring this conversation forward, I think, since it's early May and families may be orienting towards summer plans. Older kids are starting to think about jobs. Asha and I originally recorded and aired this episode in 2017. The original impetus was a conversation in response to some ongoing threads I saw online about whether kids should work. And there was the specific concern about work getting in the way of homework, extracurriculars, and free time. If you have been with me for a while and have listened to Asha and my back episodes, you won't be surprised to hear that I had some strong feelings about this, and we believe that there are so many benefits of work, even when the work is hard, maybe especially when the work is hard. The tips that Asha and I share in this episode are evergreen, and it was really wild to listen back to this seven-year-old gem because our kids were so much younger, obviously, and in some ways they were just forging their way into work as tweens and young teens. So please note, there are some things we reference that are out of date. For example, my Brave New World design studio, which is on hiatus. But the concepts that we talk about are 100% relevant in the present. Also, I did want to call out a couple of things because now having seen Laurel through many years as a working person, both in high school and college, I just wanted to underscore two massive benefits beyond the actual dollar factor of working. First is planning and time management. Work offers such an important opportunity for kids to figure out their schedules. And it's worth noting that there will very likely be some mess-ups and stressors in this domain for kids, and those experiences are also really important. I think Laurel's experiences working in high school really helped her figure out how to navigate adding a job to her plate and plan around her school demands in college. Second, I think one of the biggest benefits of working beyond the money itself has been navigating relationships. Laurel has had jobs where employers have pushed boundaries and she has needed to learn to advocate for herself. She's had jobs where she has been in customer service and learned to deal with difficult customers and situations. And she's also had jobs where she has grown really strong personal relationships that also mean that you have to be even better about work boundaries and figuring out how to be both colleagues and friends. It's been really incredible to watch. No doubt about it, work is challenging. I'm sure we've all had tough jobs out there. I certainly have, and also really great jobs. And so I think it's so valuable to think about work in the context of the other things, school, extracurriculars, free time, that your kids should juggle. So Asha and I share 9 reasons why kids should get jobs, and we'll get to those after a quick break. People often talk about the impact of things like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrition on skin, but did you know those things impact your hair too? If you've been dealing with hair thinning, you are not alone, and Nutrafol is here to help. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. I appreciate that they offer formulas tailored to different life stages, such as postpartum and menopause, as well as different lifestyles, such as plant-based diets. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering Edit Your Life listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code EDIT. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, and use promo code EDIT. That's Nutrafol.com using promo code EDIT. Are you, like pretty much every parent of younger kids I know, looking for a smart entertainment option for your kids? Designed for kids ages 6 and up, Mysteries About True Histories, also known as Math, How Smart Is That?, is a weekly podcast full of time travel, puzzles, hidden equations, history, and humor. And while kids will enjoy the stories anchored around characters like troublesome trolls, pirate queens, and mysterious aunts, adults can benefit too. I admittedly delighted in learning a thing or two about Pythagoras and triangles in one episode. Every episode follows two best friends, Max and Molly, who work together to solve riddles and math equations during their time traveling adventures. The series explores themes like the stories behind math, critical thinking, code breaking, pattern solving, and more, all weaving humor in with education to make learning fun. Episodes drop every Thursday and are about 15 minutes long, a great length for transition times during the day or a bedtime treat. So tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods. So we have lots of great things to talk about in this episode. And my first tip is just very, very basic, but I think it's one thing that a lot of people just kind of lose sight of, with everything going on. And it is that working helps kids learn the relationship between money, time, and things. And the reality is, if you just buy your kids all the things all the time, they will just never develop an appreciation for that relationship. And I just wanted to point out a really quick anecdote because it's fairly recent and top of mind. And over the last year, Laurel has had a number of these sort of special gigs where, you know, like the baby shower one I mentioned and some other things, mother's helper, custom scrapbooking, all this kind of stuff. And she's actually accumulated a pretty decent bit of earnings from that. And, we recently had in the spring, we had open studios in our neighborhood. There's a really big artist community here, which is so cool. And one of our dear friends, my friend Sheila, is a metal worker. She's a jewelry artist, very talented. I'll actually link her up in the notes. Like Oprah wore one of her rings or something on a cover of a book or something crazy like that.
Wow.
She's really just really talented and a wonderful person. So anyway, we love her. And we were at Open Studios and, you know, her stuff is a little pricier because obviously it's custom made. And I was buying some lovely earrings and Laurel was just looking at these rings and they were these really cool silver rings that had almost these kind of silver pearls kind of dropped all over on top. And she was just, I could see her wheels turning and she's sitting there. And I think it was like $40 or $45, which is a lot for a kid, right? And ultimately, we probably stood there and we were just hanging out, but ultimately, she decided that she would use her money to buy it, because she loved it. It was made by a friend and she has just treasured that object and like taken the best, you know, kids have, especially, I don't know about your daughter, but like my girls have like all manner of necklaces and just stuff that just lies around. But she has just taken exquisite care of this particular piece of jewelry. And I think it is because she paid for it with her own money. And she knows the artist who made it.
What a great story. You know, and it's funny because your tip was about the relationship between time, money, and things, but you just added a little extra anecdote. I mean, a little facet to that, which is that the things themselves, they're more than just things at this stage when they're first, you know, right. When they're able to make that connection, you know, the thing takes on more meaning. And I think that's actually so important to point out in the context of what you and I talk about, because you and I talk a lot about, decluttering things. And maybe it's not so much about the things, but the fact is that certain things actually have a lot of significance. And I think it's really wonderful that when kids have their own money, they can start making those distinctions. Mm-hmm. They can start saying, oh, that actually really matters to me. It's not all just a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Right, right. Oh, that's wonderful. I'd like to see this ring, actually. I think I remember you posting a picture of your friend's jewelry, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, I'll take a picture. It's really quite pretty. And then, mm-hmm. and my friend let Violet hammer some silver while we were in her studio. And my mind was just blown. I was like, wow, like she's 6 years old and she's getting to do some metal work. This is crazy.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Sorry.
Not to mention using, you know, I think the other piece of this is Laurel using her money to support a friend. And that's mm-hmm. just, you know, it's all such good stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. anyway, I could go off on that one, but I'm not going to. I'm going to stay focused.
Yes. What is your first tip of this episode?
All right. My first tip is that working is a major self-esteem booster for kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm now the parent of two high schoolers, which just is amazing to me. You should check my Instagram at Asha Dornfest if you want to see a picture of my two gorgeous children.
Gorgeous grown up. Oh my goodness gracious.
I've sort of been floating on a bit of a cloud about these two these last couple of days. Anyway, but what this means for me is that my parenting lens is now completely and fully trained on life skills. Mm-hmm. You know, it really, really is. And the conversations have really changed. And the real world, honestly, it's just not a theoretical and far off, you know, sort of destination in the future. It is just here now, right now. And, you know, in the years that they have grown from where I stand, I really can clearly see that their self-esteem comes from their actions and accomplishments, not from the trappings of accomplishment. And I would, you know, I'm not saying that grades are trappings, because I think grades are, they absolutely reflect something. There are many kids that take a lot of pride in their academic work, and my son's one of them, but not every kid is. And so I think that, you know, when a kid can actually do something and then see the results of that action, that really is the sort of push and pull data they need to start making decisions about life. And, you know, it's a good thing. And that's where my kids have really gained a lot of their self-confidence. And so it's just concrete. And so I really believe that a real working job is just the epitome of that. And it's so worth making room in their lives, or sort of seeing that there's a place for work alongside, you know, the sports and the homework and everything else. And, you know, the biggest thing that they take away from that is that it helps them feel prepared for life out in the world. Mm-hmm. And I think where I am right now with a high school senior and a high school freshman, you know, my son Sam is really thinking about, you know, I am moving out in a year. I need to get my, you know, ducks in a row. And I think he really wants these skills. And so I'm really very excited that, you know, this job is the first step in getting them.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say co-signed, hashtag co-signed, and okay. and leave it at that. Yes, all of that.
Great.
Great. So the next thing I wanted to bring up is actually one that is directly connected to the parallel would be chores that one would do with kids too, like younger kids. But it is that working can serve as a really great way to connect with your kids. You know, in all these many years we've been writing about parenting, you know, one of the things that comes up so frequently is, I can't get my kids to talk to me. How do I communicate better with them? And one of the things that I've found to be so helpful is when you're working on something in parallel with them and not making eye contact. So, you know, whether it's cooking, that's often a way that things come out, or you can be gardening or something. But one of the really fun little side things that has happened with the Brave New World shop is which is the Etsy thing that John and I have, you know, our studio is here at home. And it's been actually kind of fun because that business has been a very concrete thing that my kids can see and understand and feel the tangible, you know, see the goods versus like life on the internet, which is kind of this weird nebulous thing to them. But they help out. We pay them when they're helping with the business. And it has led to like just some lovely time to chat and just hang out together while we're working on stuff. So that's actually been one of my favorite little side things that has happened as a result of this kind of you know, unexpected business. And it's just been really lovely. So I can't I can't emphasize that enough. And I really would, if you've got younger kids, I really would encourage you to start it at the chore level. And, you know, a chore won't seem as much of a chore if they've got you with them, you know, to connect and hang out with, honestly.
I can completely vouch for that. And, you know, we do not, Christine, you know, the sort of ultimate entrepreneur, you know, it's amazing to me that you have sort of started this business inside everything else that you're doing. And that is such an amazing, like, I just imagine your kids being able to work with you and how exciting that is for them. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have anything like that. And my husband and I do much of our work on the internet. And so for us, it really has been in the chore sort of realm. And lately, it's sort of interesting. This may be, perhaps this is connected to our previous episode about handling political stress. But one of my ways of handling political stress is to go out into my backyard and either chop things down or dig things up. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. The shovel and the pruning shears. Anyway, when you chop things down and dig things up, you generate lots and lots of debris. And so I've been sort of, you know, bringing my kids outside and saying, your job is to take all this debris and put it in that green bin over there, which is the most unceremonious job in the world. And after lots of eye rolling and sort of like, do I have to, and all of that, they, you know, I just sort of split it down the middle and say, you do this half and you do that half. And you know what? In the end, they actually enjoy it. I would not say they enjoy picking up all this stuff, but they enjoy looking at it at the end. And we get to talk about, you know, we're not having big, meaningful conversations, but we're having moments of connection.
Oh, yeah.
And that, yeah. You know, like for me, who likes to talk a lot and have all of these, like, let us come to a, you know, meaningful conclusion of this conversation. You know, my kids don't want to do that all the time. They just want to hang out. And it's really great. I am shocked, actually, at how many great moments we've had out in the garden, given that they don't really want to be there. I mean, really, I think that's the other thing. It's not like we're not talking about kids cheerfully doing chores, like little, you know, sort of seven dwarves helpers or anything. They're not out there because they want to be. But in the end, it doesn't matter. We still end up having a good, you know, something good comes of it. Mm-hmm. So. Anyway. All right. On to my next tip. I talked about this a little bit earlier, but I wanted to just chat about it a bit more. And that is that working really teaches kids the difference between being a good employee and a good student. And, you know, as we talked about before, you know, the skills required to be a good student are transferable, but they are not the same as being a good employee. And I think that it's a good idea to sort of think that through a little bit. You know, for example, at a workplace, there is no tardy bell. You're expected to show up on time with a good attitude, ready to go. And I think that's really good to know. I think it's really different to walk in 2 minutes late to school and 2 minutes late to work. Mm-hmm. And it might be something that particular boss doesn't notice, but I think it's really important to show up, you know, a couple minutes early to work. So same thing, you know, about following directions. You know, following directions is good, but thinking up a way to improve the process of what's going on, that's better. All of this stuff, I think the other thing to mention about this is that all of this stuff that we're talking about happens in an environment where there is not going to be a parent-teacher conference. It's not like you're going to hear from the boss. It's not like you're going to interact with the boss at all, probably. And rightfully so. I mean, this really is your kids' realm and is their responsibility to take these on. And it's their responsibility to perceive when there are issues and things that need to be fixed. And so they really they're going to need to figure all that stuff out on the fly. And so I think I share this not to cause worry, because I don't think there's nothing to worry about. These are just lessons. And the reality is if there are problems, you know, that's probably going to be where they really learn, you know, most intensely. But I just think it's a good thing to keep in mind.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I think the point about being able to figure stuff out on the fly is just so critical, because I think, you know, in this current, I mean, right now for so many kids, it's all about just like taking instruction, following instruction, gold star, you know? So right. I think that's, and it's just such an important life skill to develop. So yeah, that, I think that's such a great point.
Well, and also, you know, the notion that in school, if you sort of go above and beyond, that's quote unquote extra credit. Mm-hmm. In a work environment, going above and beyond, that's just what you do. You know what I mean? Like, you just have some pride in yourself. You just decide what your standards are, and that's it. No one's setting the standards. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. That is so crucial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
The next thing I wanted to bring up was that working offers opportunities to talk about spending, of course, and also saving and sharing. And right here, I just want to make a little confession. Now, I really try not to fret a lot, but I will confess that one of my biggest parenting fears is that my kids will be entitled and selfish. I really feel that. And I try not to let that color my thinking too much because I don't want to be heavy-handed about them being good givers in the world. But I know, having grown up poor created a lot of issues around money for me. And I have spent my entire adult life entangling all of that.
Yeah.
So, as I said, I try not to be heavy-handed, but it's just been very important to me to be able to have conversations with the kids about different things they can do with their money. I mean, Brave New World is great because it gives us a natural way to talk about that because we do charitable donations. So that's great. And the other day, it was one of those moments where I felt like, okay, everything's going to be okay, because Vi was helping me in the studio and we were chatting and she said, Mom, it's pretty cool that we make these shirts and it helps people who need help. And I had to play it really cool, but I was actually crying inside. I was like, oh my God, she gets it.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, right. I mean, I think this whole spending, saving, sharing thing is, the flip side of earning, right? What are you going to do with all that money? And, that's so interesting. I guess, it's funny. Our teenage version of that is that, we do talk to the kids about charitable giving, but we don't have like a direct mechanism for it like you guys do, which it's sort of making me think that would be a really great thing. Once a month we have this discussion. Anyway, we'll have to think about that.
Although, let me just say for Sam's bar mitzvah, he did the whole charity water thing, which I thought was amazing.
Right.
Amazing.
That's right. No, that's very true. It was now years ago, but when Sam had his bar mitzvah, he did a charity project, which was raising charity water. If you're not familiar with charity water, it is just an unbelievably wonderful organization that raises money for water projects in developing communities and for communities that don't have clean drinking water. Mm-hmm. And my husband Rail used to work at charity water, and Sam was just really taken with them. So absolutely. It's not that we don't talk about giving. It's that, I just think that there's something so wonderful about how you do have this natural way because of Brave New World, because of your t-shirts, that you have this natural mechanism for talking about it. But, it's sort of interesting what, for us, the way it's playing out is that, you know, Sam is sort of making noises about a car. You know, I think he's noticing that some of his friends, quote unquote, get cars. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like, you know, it's sort of like you get a big kid bed and then someday you get a car. It's mm-hmm. like, well, not everybody. And we have not, you know, I've said, well, you certainly could save for a car for sure. You know, so we've been, I don't know. I'm not of the opinion that we have to buy him a car. And also, you know, our lifestyle is not such that one has to drive around all over the place either. But we've really talked to him about the notion of, you know, sort of, I think in the spending and saving buckets, you know, maybe a portion of your earnings can go toward a car fund, you know, mm-hmm. like let's talk about that. So I think there's really that whole notion of short-term and long-term spending that you can talk about as well. And so that's been an interesting conversation. I'm still not exactly sure where we come down on that yet. We only have one car, so, you know, it will become an issue at some point. But anyway, to be continued.
To be continued. Yeah. Interesting.
Well, and so that also brings up the related sort of money conversation is that working also gives you opportunities to talk to your kids about investing. Mm-hmm. And investing is very different than saving because, you know, whereas saving is really about budgeting and, you know, saving for emergencies and all of that stuff, immediate spending issues. Investing is not about immediate at all. It's about future stuff. It's about building a base of money that will work for you. And so, you know, it's funny. I'm like a broken record about this particular tip, my super golden number one money tip that I give every single teenager, every single 20-something in my life, and that is to open up a retirement account right now and start putting in a monthly amount, even if it's just $50, $25 if you can, a retirement account like a Roth IRA or a mm-hmm. traditional IRA, because starting when you're young is the number one biggest key to retiring comfortably. And it's funny, people sometimes look at me like, that is nuts. But no, I'm telling you, it is just like the greatest tip ever. And just, I tell them, just do it. Don't even talk to me about why, unless you're interested. Otherwise, just do it and start doing it. And then we can talk about it later.
Thank me later.
I joke because I've literally been like rubbing my hands together, priming Sam to put part of his first paycheck into a Roth IRA that we've opened for him. And I'm like, you are going to be so happy in about 35 years. You're just going to be like, thank you, Mom. Well, and he's a real numbers guy. And the fact is that, you know, when you put the money in and you just let it, you know, you let those dividends compound mm-hmm. just sitting there. It's just crazy. I'll share a few charts in the notes. But this was a conversation my dad had with me when I was in college. He said, you know, he basically just sort of stomped up to me and said, start an IRA. And I was like, what are you talking about? But I just did what he said because that was me as a college student. And I did what my parents said. And I would say, like, not long ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I went up to my dad, you know, in my mid 40s. Dad, yes, thanks for telling me to start an IRA. Because now I really see, like, wow, that was such great advice. So
it
anyway,
crazy. Yeah.
You know, investing is so important. And even if investing is intimidating to you as, you know, as an adult, this is a simple, simple thing that you can do. And you don't even have to know much about it. It'll just be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I'm really glad you brought that up. That's great. Okay. So I was sorry. I was a little distracted for a moment because I was thinking, okay, Asha needs a, like, go open an IRA t-shirt, but I'm not.
The wheels.
I was like, what graphic would I do on there? Okay. Anyway, back focus, Christine. Okay.
Yes. Focus, so, I know. You and I are punchy.
Oh my goodness. All right. So my next tip actually kind of loops back to the catalyst for this conversation. And where I was saying how I had seen somebody post about worrying about or wondering about whether their kid should get a job because it would get in the way of homework and other things. And it is that working will help your kids figure out time management. I mean, this is life skills. This is, you know, I think no kids should be exempt from chores or working because of extracurriculars, especially because they're extra, or anything mm-hmm. else. This is what's going to help them figure out how to parse up their time and make things work. So that's all I'm going to say about that. It's just mm-hmm. really, really straightforward.
Right. Really straightforward. And I think we've all experienced the strange sort of reality that sometimes you can do more the more you do. And, you know, we are big, you know, advocates for not overscheduling, but the overscheduling part does not apply to things like chores and work that needs to be done. I mean, that's good stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I think you're right. No more needs to be said. I think we've all experienced it. I know I did when I had a part-time job in college. Mm-hmm. It helped me get more done. So my last tip of this episode is sort of I don't know if it's academic or not, but I think it's so important to talk about. And that is that working really teaches kids about privilege. And, you know, so I think it's really just important to talk about this a little bit, because the reality is my son does not need to work to help pay our family bills or to pay for the things we can't afford. I mean, we can afford these things. And I think one of the big reasons my husband and I keep our life really simple is so that we have enough money to be able to afford our life. Like we the less stuff we have and the fewer monthly payments or monthly bills we have, the more we can relax about the income. And you know, we also refrain from buying our kids a lot of stuff, because if we didn't, there was just no way he could connect, you know, the work required to pay for those things. But, you know, he knows there are classmates his age that have to work to get by. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, here I am talking about a job like it's a voluntary thing. That is a symptom of the fact that we have a lot of privilege around money in my family. And we are not rich by any means, but we are certainly people who are comfortable. We're okay. And I think the fact is that is not the case for many kids. And for our son, Sam, to feel that constraint of having less free time, doing work that maybe isn't the most exciting, this will give him a real perspective on his own privilege that he just couldn't get in any other way. It's not a moralistic thing. It's not like, you know, you should be so grateful. Although I just think to experience it and to feel it is extremely important. And, you know, I know that one of the things Sam loves talking about with my dad is that, you know, my dad came to this country from India, you know, many, many years ago, back in the 50s. And one of his first jobs out of college was working in a ketchup factory. I don't even what a ketchup factory. I mean, tomatoes. Right. I mean, and I just, you know, he had an engineering degree. Right. This is just a really great story for my son to hear. But it's one thing to hear a story, and then it's another thing to actually have a job. And I think, I just think that's crucial. So crucial.
Yeah, I'm just so glad that you brought this up. I think privilege is a word that makes people incredibly cringy and uncomfortable. Yeah. And I think that is why it's so crucial to talk about it. And as you know, I've had a lot, or have attempted at a lot of dialogue with people around privilege, and it's hard. And I think, honestly, the whole impetus for this, the post that I wrote about kids and working, was ultimately about privilege. If you have, if you have, can even consider not working, you know, that's, you're in a different place than somebody else. So yeah, as you said, it's not to make people feel bad about it. It's just to be aware of it. It's really important.
Right. Yeah, no, this is not it's not a guilt thing, a shame thing, an embarrassment thing. It's just an acknowledgement thing. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. And we all had to start from somewhere. And, you know, that somewhere is not the same level for everyone. And it's a good thing to sort of realize that you take steps. And I think that there will come a day when he looks back on this first job and realizes where he started. And that's a really wonderful, you know, he'll be able to see that distance from where he started to where he eventually goes, wherever that is. That's exciting.
Yeah, that's really exciting. Okay, so last tip of the episode, and this is a big one, and it's a little more abstract, but it is that working will help kids learn to deal with discomfort. And, you know, we live in an era of modern parenting where I think, again, well-intentioned, but parents want to shelter their kids from discomfort. And, you know, it's coming from a good place, but I'll just be really plain and say that it's a huge disservice to your kids if you do this. You know, kids need to learn how to experience discomfort, to experience it, to learn how to cope with it. And that's just part of the journey of working. So let them get practice now, you know, while there's a little flexibility and understanding of, you know, a little more compassion around it, perhaps on the part of an employer, you know, before they get out into the real world and maybe have some big consequences around it. So I mean, this applies to so many realms of everything, I guess, but it really working is, you know, an important piece of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And again, I think that I have noticed that, you know, we could probably all identify with this too. When we go through something hard, you know, it's obviously not pleasant in the moment. And then when you look back on it, you see that distance that you've come, and that's where your self-esteem lives. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where your feelings of capability and, you know, what you're actually able to do, that's where those feelings come from. It's like that data, you know? Mm-hmm. And my kids really respond to it, even though they don't like it. And they sometimes have to be pushed there. I think we all do. Let's be honest.
Yeah, we all need a little push, right?
Yeah, we do all need a push. You know, yeah. No one likes to do hard stuff when for no reason. And so I think that it's a really good thing. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of a little push in a direction, what is your next edit for this episode, Asha?
Okay, I'm just going to assume my dad's voice. And that is, start an IRA.
He sounds okay, like my dad. That's weird.
Look into setting up a Roth IRA for your kid. Like mm-hmm. You can go to an investment company like Vanguard.com or Fidelity, one of these investments, and you can set up, a mutual fund, a stock mutual fund, and start a Roth IRA. Just look into it and Google it and consider setting one up. And then when they get their first paycheck, you can already start preparing them for the beauty that is growing dividends when you start early.
That's hot. That's
know,
super hot.
I'm telling you. You know what? I'm going to find a good article about this, and I'm going to link it up in the show notes. You Perfect. People will all be convinced.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Okay. So your next edit is to think about your first job, and even if it was kind of crappy, perhaps especially if it was kind of crappy, think about something you learned from it. Friends, I hope this was helpful. I hope it gives you a little confidence to support your kid in their pursuit of a job. You'll find the show notes for this episode, including links to resources and related episodes at edityourlifeshow.com. As ever, I would love to hear your thoughts and questions. Come say hello on Instagram or Facebook at Edit Your Life Show, or send an email to edityourlifeshow@gmail.com. I would also be grateful if you would drop Edit Your Life a review on Apple Podcasts or tell a pod-loving friend about the show. Thanks for listening.
Hi there, I'm Andrea Owen, self-help author with 19 translations of my books, global keynote speaker, and life coach. My podcast, Make Some Noise, has been serving up self-help in a simple-to-digest way for the last decade. The topics brought in each episode are practical and easy to implement around topics such as working through fears that keep you stuck, different modalities of therapy, managing your negative self-talk, and more. We bring you guest experts, solo episodes, and I even coach listeners on the air around relatable struggles. I also do my best to weave my sense of humor into some heavy topics because, let's face it, life can be pretty hard, and it's so much better when we can have some fun while walking through our challenges. Whether you're seasoned in personal development or just starting out, Make Some Noise podcast will help you become the best version of yourself, the person you're proud of when you look in the mirror and show up in your life. Simply search Make Some Noise with Andrea Owen wherever you listen to your podcasts.